Fred Film Radio, International Film Festival, Rotterdam, Netherlands.
Fred Film Radio, I'm Matt Micucci from the 2017 International Film Festival, Rotterdam, and I'm very pleased to be joined by director Ari Manuel Cruz and screenwriter, and also playing a role in the film, Keisha Burgos. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Hello, thank you. Hello, everyone.
Would you like to maybe introduce the film a little bit and tell us about the story?
Well, we are from Puerto Rico, and this is a story that kind of represents some aspects of our culture, especially when you think about the Caribbean. You always think about drums and the beach, and we wanted to do a film that was totally opposite from that direction. And we went inside to the inner parts of the country, high in the mountains of the center of the island. And we are telling the story of a young girl, Carmine. She's a teenager, maybe in her 13s. And her mother, she just learned that her mother is moving to the U.S. like so many Puerto Ricans because of the economic crisis. And she has grown with her grandmother. And she will stay now with her grandmother in this small town in the middle of the country, very conservative, very, very narrow-minded community, but very beautiful, very hearted community also. And Carmine starts struggling with the loneliness, with the acceptance that her mother left, and she starts her sexual process, natural sexual process. She has her first period, and that's what that the rooster crows means. The title of the film is Antes que cante el gallo, before the rooster crows. And when we say that the rooster crow on a girl, it means that she had her period. And so she's in this process of becoming a woman. And suddenly her father, who she doesn't know because he's been in jail since she was a little baby, comes out of jail and comes to live with her and her grandmother, because she lives with her grandmother on the father's side. Her mother now is in the U.S. Her father comes to live with her. And now she has to learn to understand love with the difficulties and the misunderstandings of carnal and love as a couple, because she starts confusing how she feels about her father. She confuses the love, and then she creates a whole chaos in town because she feels that the love between her and her father is becoming something bigger. So that's pretty much what happens in the story. I don't want to tell the whole thing, and I'm trying to do my best in English, of course. And that's Antes que cante el gallo, before the rooster crows, and we're here in Rotterdam, and it's been incredible.
Let's talk about the actual origins of the project, and you wrote the script, Keisha, so could you just tell me where the idea comes from, and does it come from you, maybe? Is it personal?
Yes, it has some of aspects of my childhood as a grown up, as a girl living in the mountains in a small town in Barranquitas, in Puerto Rico, in the center of the island, but it comes out of an image that I had, a memory, a moment I lived when I met my father for the first time when I was 10 or 11 years old. I met him in jail, and I didn't know what was loving a man as a father. I didn't know that. I was raised by my grandmother, and my mother was coming in and out because she was very, very young. She had me she was 16 years old when she had me, and she had to study and live her life. And so I was raised by my grandmother as well. So I dedicate this to grandmothers who are present for a lot of people and raise the kids in the community.
Let me ask you both of you a question, actually. I was talking about this film with someone this morning, and one of the things that I really admired was that in a coming of age film like this, which, you know, you may consider it that, although it's terrible to categorize any film, but nevertheless, what I always find is that a lot of these stories have male leading characters, whereas this story has a female leading character. Now, but in terms of making a film like this, what do you think are the differences that, you know, having a female character in this type of story brings to a film?
Well, in my case, I'm in love with female stories. I don't know if it's that or I'm just in love with Kisha's writing, and Kisha writes from a very female perspective. Is her work is very naturally feminine, and I can't help myself. I'm very interested in that topic. So in this film, that's what really drove me is the relationship between this girl and this grandmother, the two women, one becoming a woman and one trying to, in a way, represent how she thinks a woman should be. Mm. So she's trying to set an example in a very crude and a hostile way, because that's the only way she knows how to love.
Yeah.
But then in the end, they end up in a different place. They end up understanding and loving each other in a new way. And that's pretty much what I love about her writing about the film, all that from their perspective, and me as a man humbly trying to immerse myself in the stories of this woman, and really, it really drives me to tell those type of stories. And I think Kisha's work is always like that, and that's what I like it. Even in theater, when she writes in theater, it's always like that also.
All right, you have a theatrical background.
Yes, I come from theater. I come as an actress in theater, and then I started writing theater and doing my own stuff. Although I continue working in theater as an actress,
sure,
as well in other productions. I come from there. And about the female portrays, the female characters, I believe it's really important to have them more and more, because we've been raised and formed with a masculine and a stereotype and
the male gaze, the male perspective.
Yeah, the male perspective, and we need all other perspectives, other sensibilities and other stories.
Mm.
And every time I have the opportunity to see a female character movie, I see it. Although last night I saw a film that was from the perspective of this man, but it was another perspective, you know? It's not about gender, it's about the perspective, to open up the scale of stories and the genres.
Yeah, I think also this festival is good at selecting this type of films that are just original and unique, and most of them anyways. I mean, the ones that I've seen this year have been very lucky. But you touched on something that I'm quite curious about. What do you find the differences between theater, writing for the theater and, or working in the theater and cinema? Is there anything in particular that also influences your work on this film and other films that you may have done or you might want to do?
Well, the difference is big, but it always end up to, you know, saying telling a story.
Mm.
But the difference is in theater you have the audience there.
Yeah.
The audience is another character. In cinema, you have a film that continues talking and having conversations with all around the world. That's the beauty of cinema. It remains alive,
mm-hmm.
and but you don't have the live actors there, and the work I think is really influenced by the actors.
Mm-hmm.
I have a lot of friends, actors friends from theater, and they are part of my imagination and part of when I write. I think of some of them, and after we have the work together, we call them to audition and to be part of the project.
Mm.
And that relationship, that close relationship, I think is very important, and it has a result, a good result at the end, because we have a very intimate the history with them, with the actors and Ari. They trust Ari, but also Ari listens to them, and that relationship is great.
So you work closely with the actors when you make the film, and maybe as well as that, I'm going to tie in another bit to the question that I'm going to ask you, and that is, how do you visualize? Did you have a visual style in your head when you approached the screenplay, when you read the screenplay for the first time?
Yes, I have my agendas, definitely aesthetic agendas. I have things that drive me. I see a lot of movies and a lot of images. I'm always looking for images. But because I went to school for screenwriting, didn't went to school for directing, and I am a screenwriter myself. But as a director, I translate my imaginarium starts from the word, and the word is the actor who gives physicality to the words. So it's when I see the actors talking our stories and the screenplays she writes, I'm always very close. It's when I start visualizing. I'm not a visual director. I'm an actor and a director of word.
Yeah.
So even though I set up a style and I have an agenda with my cinematographer, you know, because my cinematographer also used to be a lightner. He used to do lights for theater, and he's the son of the most important light person in theater in Puerto Rico. So this kid grew up in the theater. So even though he's a cinematographer, his understanding of my mind and Kisha's mind is very, very good, because he understands the minds of actors. So my cinematographer and I have a type of work that even though we have very strong visual ideas, they all grow from what is happening with the actors, with the casting, with the locations, and it keeps growing, and we see a lot of movies. So I did have an agenda style. I have these movies that I was showing him, like saying, this is what I'm looking for in terms of camera. And we're very specific in the lenses we use and how we did the close-up with white lenses, and we wanted to be closer, very close to the actors, but still seeing what was around them, because the environment, the psychological aspect was so important that I never wanted to not have a character without his environment. That's why close-ups are with the 27 and the 35 millimeter, so I could see around them. So yes, we had an aesthetic, but it all grew from the word.
Yeah.
And the bodies of the actors, when they give a body to a word, yeah, that is on paper. So that's how it happens. Santiago Menet, my photographer, enjoys this process. And every day on set, we create from that.
Yeah. Well, now that we've talked about the acting, maybe we should spare a little more time in talking about the actual actors of the film. Can you take me through the casting process and how they work?
Yeah, as Kisha said, we're always surrounded by actors, like our friend, our actors from theater. So since we are writing, we are always imagining. As writers, I put images to my characters in order to write. Like, I imagine my friends playing the parts so I can write. So that's how I write. So since I've been reading the drafts, I've been thinking about friends and how this sounds with this voice. And so when it came to casting, we invited a very specific group of people for each character. We had ideas. You know, cinema is very typecast, you know, also. So it's half what you're looking for in terms of dramatic capabilities, and also you're looking to create certain realities, and that those realities have skin color and have type of hairs, you know.
Yeah.
Especially that we are trying to portray a very specific community in Puerto Rico with a very specific history and a very specific type of physical conditions. So these friends that were in that range, we started looking and only the best. So I did castings very specific, and we created our casting. Kisha and I do our own casting. We don't use casting directors. We call our friends and we do private meetings, and we start shooting and recording our friends doing the parts, and everybody takes it very serious. You know, this is our life. And that's how we create our casts, and that's how we've done. We already finished another film, which we did the casting also together. And it's been very fun, but it's very tough because, yeah, you know, yeah, we're working with people you love. But at the same time, we are trying to be very specific and very, you know, very open to the possibilities of trying different actors. But always we're just looking for what really moves us, just, you know, the best of the best in Puerto Rico. And we're happy that they're our friends.
Yeah. Well, I love hearing about this film and how it was made and how the collaborative effort of everything. And it was a great, but unfortunately I'm going to have to wrap it up because the time is what it is. But it was a great pleasure talking with you. Just as a final question, where this film has won awards, and we were talking about it earlier, this film has won awards, and it's been quite successful so far in its run. I hear great things about it here at this festival. Is there anywhere else that's planned about this film? Where is this film going to be going?
Well, now we have more festivals. Well, no, we've been running for 6 months. We've been in the best festivals in the Caribbean and Mexico and Cuba and Panama and Peru. And we've been all around. And now the United States is coming up. We're going to be in Chicago. We're going to be in New York. And also France is coming up. So a lot of things are happening, and we hopefully we get distribution here in Europe, so maybe you can find us in commercial media. So let's see what happens, but you know, we're ready for Europe.
All right, well, we're ready for your film. Well, let me just say the title and try, because I didn't say it earlier. Antes que cante el gallo, before the rooster crows. How was my pronunciation?
That's great.
Well, thank you very much. You guys are very lovely, and it was a great pleasure talking to you, and I wish you all the best.
Thank you very much.
Bye.
And this is Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.